Well, every day that we come together to worship the Lord, or every service, come together to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. So important that we grow in the knowledge of the Lord. He wants us to grow like little children, growing every service, growing every day. If you're not growing, then you're in trouble with the Lord. The Bible teaches that in the time of the law of the Old Testament, a dwarf could not enter into the congregation of the righteous. It was about 14 generations before anything that was unsightly could enter into the generations of God. And a lot of times people dwarf themselves. They won't listen to tutoring. It's like children in a school. They're going to school, but they won't listen to the teacher. And they dwarf themselves. And people dwarf themselves in the spiritual way of life. They learn so much, or they come to understand so much, and then after that they won't listen. And so then they dwarf themselves. But you know, when you dwarf yourself, you don't enter into that wonderful rest of God, that wonderful peace of God, that wonderful aiding of Christ. So we don't need to dwarf ourselves. We need to grow. If you are not bigger today than you was tomorrow, if you're not more thoroughly furnished today than you was, or that is, if you're not better today than you was yesterday, that is, and if you're not more thoroughly furnished tomorrow than you are today, then there's something wrong to you or with you. You're becoming dwarfed. You need to grow. Always grow. Every day you should be more thoroughly furnished in the things of God, more developed, and should be growing more and more. If you're not applying yourself, then you're not going to grow. And if you're not growing, it's obvious that you're not applying yourself. So we need to apply ourselves when we come into the services. We need to apply ourselves. When we leave the services and we go on our way, we need to meditate in the laws of God continually until we return again together in the house of the Lord to learn about Jesus. Always growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Always moving toward the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Going on to be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. If you're not going on to be perfect, then you're dwarfing yourself and you're displeasing God. So I don't know what you've learned today. I don't know how much you've gathered from the wonderful things of Christ today. But there's one thing about it, we need to grow. You know, Paul, the great apostle Paul, traveling, preaching, carrying the gospel, doing the things that he was called to do. You know, he said on one occasion, he said, I have a desire to be with God. In this, he termed it as being far better. Desire to be with God, which is far better. So, you know, by that, it makes me to know one thing, and that is that this is not a fairy tale. This is not a make-believe. This is a reality. There really is a place that is so lovely and so wonderful to be at that place. It is far better than being in this world. So then we look forward to that wonderful, far better place. I look forward to it. I think of it a lot of times. And in this life, the Bible teaches that it is but few days, just a few days, even at the very best, all of your life, live all of your life. Seems long, but you'll realize it's just a few days. And it's full of trouble. So then the Bible said those that are dying and leaving are far better off than they that are being born to come into this world. Them that are departing are far better off than them that are coming in. And in this world, especially in the day that we're living in, unless you are a child of God and unless you're willing to die by the way of Calvary and give your life to the conformity of Christ, then you have to join the crowd. Throw your life away. Throw your virtues away. Throw your reasoning away. Throw your good understanding away. Eat, drink, and be merry. Spend, steal, cheat, swindle, lie, con, do anything you can and the best man wins. Do all you can to get all you can and try to stay alive while you're doing it. Brother Gill was grinning at me. He knows that's the truth. Unless you're going to serve Christ. Unless you're going to serve Christ. If you're going to serve God, then life is worthwhile. Life is worthwhile. You'll have a struggle. You'll be a few days and full of trouble. And it'll be a battle, a continual battle, a continual pressure. Continual trouble, always trouble. See, because there's fears and there's complex of life, bewilderments, distortions, sorrows, heartaches, woes, miseries, few days and full of trouble. That's all you have to look forward to. You may educate your kid the best that you know how, that is your little child. But when you finish educating him, you reward him with a life few days and full of trouble. You give him a life few days and full of trouble. After you educate him to the very best, you then turn him loose to his reward few days and full of trouble. If you don't educate him, you still turn him loose to a few days and full of trouble. It's true that people might make living conditions a little better. You know, if you get out of the way of a snake, you make living conditions a little better. If the snake's good and poison and you don't get out of the way of him, you can end it all. So then getting out of the way of the viper makes it a little better, but really, all you got at the best is few days and full of trouble. So he that lives is no better than he that dies. As a matter of fact, he that dies is better than he that lives. Well, the Bible teaches that a living dog is better than a dead man. In the sense that a living dog can do something and a dead man don't know anything at all. But then, when you really consider it, Solomon said, he that is departing and he that is going his way is far better than he that's coming in. For he that is leaving has already been processed and already been down the trail, if there's any age involved. And he's already seen the sorrows and the heartaches and he's saying goodbye and he's going his way to close the day. But the man that's coming in is just opening the book to learn about the few days and full of trouble. And he's got it all to go through. Broken homes, broken hearts, death of loved ones, torment, torture. You know, but in the midst of all of this, men still strive. They have to survive. They still try. Like in the early frontier, they had to kill. They had to fight wars. They have to fight tornadoes, hurricanes. They have to build and rebuild. Pestilence, problems, murderers, cheats, liars, swindlers. Cunning men, in the midst of all of it, you have to keep on keeping on. You make a good salary this week and the robbers is waiting. They got it all figured out. And they manipulate a little bit here, and those that are lazy that sit around that do nothing but get education are figuring out in their knowledge how to keep from working, to continue to keep from working, that they might take what you've got. And as a result of that, they do it day after day. And they call it taxes, and they call it all kind of things, you know, and God calls it robbery. Especially to the church, taxing strangers. Jesus said they're taxing strangers. But if it's not called taxes, they've got some other kind of thing, you know. You've got to pay for a number on a piece of metal to stick on your car, and then you've got to pay for another number to carry around in your billfold, and then you've got to pay for something else, and you've got to pay for something else, and you've got to pay for something else. It's just, you know, it's an unending thing. Few days and full of trouble. And if you don't get it, you go to prison. And if you don't get it, you're not part of society. And so it's few days and full of trouble. You're always giving your money to somebody, taking everything that you got, giving it to somebody. Now the thought is, why do you do that? Why is it like that? It's because you rob God. You refuse to give to God. You refuse to feed the hungry. You refuse to help the poor. You refuse to work with your neighbor. And so then the devils and the demons got an upper hand, and God had to turn them loose on you. And now they get everything you got, and you don't have any heavenly reward or your substance. And it's going to get worse than that, because just as you have a number for your tag and a number for your license, after a while they got another number. And somebody says, well, I won't take that one. You'll take that one just like you took all the rest. Oh, somebody said, no, yes, you will. You just wait and see. It'll be just as common for you to carry that around as it is that you carry the others around. Because if you don't carry it, then you're rejected from society and you can't go and you can't do. And as long as you're in this world, you got to go and you got to do. And to be able to do that, you got to have the number. So they've got the number waiting for you. Why is it? It's because men foolishly reject God and foolishly squander and foolishly do everything but what God asks them to do, and dwarfen themselves from the things of God, and not following after Christ and not honoring God, not following the ministry, not listening to the warnings, not carrying the things of God forth to the people by their substance and helping and willingness. Therefore, the whole world is in an ugly condition. Filthy, degraded, virtues gone, health gone, enslaved by the cunning devils and demons that live in human bodies in the society of today that call themselves powers and authorities. You know, I can agree to the fact that years ago we had some dignitaries, and we had great statesmen like Lincoln and Washington and other great and mighty men that were statesmen, that people that really cared about humanity. And we had some businessmen that were great businessmen. They devoted their lives to being their brother's keeper. Today, just about all of that's gone. We've got a bunch of devils and demons in the White House that's incarnate in human bodies. Bunch of devils and demons in the churches. The Bible said a cage of every unclean evil spirit or bird, every hateful bird. And humanity has become possessed of devils and demons. You know, that's sad. That's sad. If you're not under bondage to your neighbor, to your brother, then you're under bondage to your own mind. Your own mind is tormenting the life out of you. You don't have any life. You don't have any pleasure because devils and demons torment your life out of you. A man can't live without lusting. The woman can't live without lusting, either after one another and passions, or after food and after drink and after clothes and after cars and after the things of the world. So you're tormented and you're tortured, and your mind's under oppression all the day long. Torment, fear. Fear that you got cancer, fear that you're going to die, fear that you're going to lose what you got, fear that you're not going to have enough work, fear that your wife's going to turn out to be a prostitute, fear that your little child's going to get killed, fear that your husband's going to become a whoremonger, fear. You know, and like I was telling somebody today, it's terrible to think that the world's in this kind of condition. When a little plant comes up, the roses start to put forth the petals, or the little flower, a sweet, sweet fragrance begins to come forth. The air is perfumed, you know, a lot of times with the smell of sweet shrubs and roses and honeysuckles, and the interwoven, refreshing smell. You know, it fills all the earth, makes life worth living. The reason for that is everything is projecting. It's springtime. Life is coming forth and everything is projecting. and the strength of its nature and of its endeavors towards survival is coming forth, and it's unionized in such a loveliness, such an aroma. See, because life is projecting. But then all of a sudden, it starts withdrawing. And the little honeysuckle starts withdrawing. And the sweet aroma doesn't go forth anymore because it's not projecting, it's withdrawing. And the little rose, it doesn't give off its sweet smell anymore because life is withdrawing. And the sweet shrub, it doesn't fill the woods with the aroma of its sweetness anymore because life in it is withdrawing. Springtime and resurrection is passed by. So there's no unionizing of the sweet smelling aroma. There's no unionizing anymore. You know why? Because they're withdrawing from one another. And this is the way it is with humanity. Just as long as life is projecting, one is putting forth his strength and his talent. Another one is putting forth his. And they begin to embrace each other in an interwoven endeavor toward the survival of humanity and a contribution to the societies of life. They all become interwoven and they become their brother's keeper. And that has been in the past. There's been people that build a house not for money but for their neighbor, for the person to live in. And they were known around in the neighborhood as the builder. I can remember it real well. The builder, the great builder. And they say, my, he built such lovely, strong houses. The way he braces them, it's the force against the wind. And it's just, you know, it's just wonderful. But then one day the builder lost his concern about humanity and got concerned about money. And so it has been with every other trade and every other talent in life. And so the unionizing and the effort toward one another began to fail. It isn't here anymore. It built a great society because one embraced another. And whereas one would lack in strength, the other would supply the source or the sufficiency. But see, when they became selfish, the devil got into the heart. It wasn't like God who gives forth in life. And God who's always sacrificial. And the Spirit of Christ that's always giving and coming to serve and wanting to do something to help. It's the gullible, selfish Lucifer that has gotten into every individual. And much like the little honeysuckle and the sweet shrub, everything is for personal gain. And life isn't projecting nor unionizing anymore one with another for strength of survival. It's just one individual preying off of another individual. And everything is withdrawing. Life is withdrawing. And Satan, with his gullible desire, is pulling into self. And everything is for self. So then there is a great breach. And the stones won't stay together. As the Bible said, the reason is because they have been placed together with untempered mortar. The untempered mortar. It wasn't the mortar of charity and of love. So Jesus said this house will be destroyed and not one stone shall remain upon another. For every stone shall be cast down. But said, you destroy it, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And said, when I raise it up, it'll never be destroyed again. Because it'll be built with the mortar of charity, the bond of perfection that will link one to another. And they'll become one strength, even a habitation for the great Holy Spirit. So then Lucifer is absorbing everything. He is drawing everything to self. He's withdrawing. Life is being pushed out. And he himself, that is Christ, is withdrawing. And life is leaving. Lucifer is becoming more selfish and more selfish until there is not enough love anymore in the world to even hold a man and a wife together. Not anymore. There's not enough love in the world anymore to hold the children and the parents together. Not anymore. Someone would say, well, you just don't know how much I love my companion. You don't know how true my companion is. That perhaps is true. Maybe I don't. But it could be that I might know more about your companion than you know. And you might find out to your shock and amazement that there is nothing in your companion's heart towards you. No, not nothing. Nothing at all. Her day is never spent, or his day is never spent with you at heart, nor your concern, nor your interest. So then, God, who is love, is being taken out of the earth. Life is withdrawing. The famine for life I spoke of today. Love is leaving. Homes are breaking up. Mothers care nothing for children anymore. Daddies are lazy, shiftless. They won't toil to make a living for the family anymore. And I know the bad situation is that all of this is typical and symbolic of the spiritual condition of today. The churches care nothing about the spiritual children anymore. The church, the mother of the earth, cares nothing about them anymore. Let them go to the ball games. Let them frolic. Let them do anything they want to so that I don't have the responsibility. But the church in years gone by travailed and fasted and prayed. And the Bible said when Zion travailed, sons and daughters were born into the kingdom. And mothers, spiritual mothers in Israel, took care of them. Parents laid up for the children. There were spiritual fathers. Paul said, I've begotten you as a father in the gospel. Spiritual fathers that were greatly concerned about the spiritual children, but not anymore. They don't care what they learn. They don't care what they hear. They don't care about the doctrine. The thing they're interested in is whether or not they're going to pay their tithes and give their offering. And that not to evangelize the world or to take care of the widows of the orphan, but that's become a self-centered, selfish thing. And the little church in the community is for the community, and the community puts all in for the preacher, and the preacher keeps it all for self, and whoever can squeeze or weasel in to get into the inner circle. Sad but true. You say, that's not true. Oh, yes, I found it. I've been to the places where it was, and I've talked to the people, and I broke some of it. So then, selfishness, greed, unconcern, that's where the church is. That's where the church world is. That's why the children are wandering everywhere and going everywhere. You know what makes it so bad is as the natural law upholds the evil among the teenagers. The natural law stands with the teenagers. The devils and demons in uniform. And in the law, they work it to make sure that that girl can get loose. And so devils and demons can turn her into a prostitute and defile her to where she'll be nothing. And the devils and demons work together to make sure that that boy can get loose from home so that he can run the roads and that Satan can control him, that demons can live inside of him so they won't have to wander through the dry places. But years ago, you've heard me say this a lot of times, it wasn't like that. The man that lived over the hill, he had his little 12 acres. He might not have the best, and he might be a sharecrop, but he had a little shotgun hanging on the rack that said he was the boss of the land. And didn't nobody come over there, Mr. Sheriff, or nobody else. They just stayed where they belonged. And he had his little shotgun, and he said, you don't come over here. This is my little home. I take care of my little place. You take care of yours. He didn't knock his wife around if he was the right kind of fella, and he didn't abuse his children. Some slick, sharp fella didn't come around and lay in the bushes somewhere and hide around the house to try to defile his little daughter. Devils and demons didn't lurk in the shadow because the shotgun was up there for the purpose. And he didn't mind pulling the trigger. And that happened a few times in a few homes. And the trigger was pulled and they hauled people off and they buried them. And then the other man with his little 12 acres, he got along good because they knew better than to come around. Wasn't a long, drawn-out case of law. It was just a matter that if you got on the wrong territory, it was just too bad. But yet people got along and they formed vigilantes and they worked together. Whereas that wasn't the right way to do it. But that was the only way they knew. It was the way that God told the men of old to do it. When God said, Samuel, because of this evil ruler and what he has done, there's much suffering. I want you to hew him to pieces. And Samuel cut him to pieces. Blessed Samuel, the tender, kind-hearted Samuel that had never hurt anybody in his life. He picked up the sword and he took one look at the fellow and he said, because you've made mother's childless, your mother's going to be childless. And he hewed him, the Bible said he hewed him to pieces. See, that was the law of God. When a child was rebellious and wouldn't listen to daddy and mother, and when the child was contrary, and the child cursed mother or father, then they just took the child out and they stoned him to death. And the next child knew to do right. And on many occasions, the daddy and mother had to help throw the stones. God meant business. He meant business. That wasn't God's desired way, but God meant to get rid of devils and demons. Put one bad apple in and you ruin the whole barrel, and God meant to save the people. So if he couldn't get a stubborn child to listen, and if that daughter or son wouldn't listen, God knew that he'd give them enough understanding to listen. He knew they had enough understanding. Jesus at 12 years old was about his father's business. He knew they had enough understanding, and if they were going to be, as the world called, bullheaded and contrary, God just put them out of commission. That saved the other child that wanted to do right. But see, today one child poisons the mind of another child. And one young girl poisons the mind of another young girl. See, and then the devils and demons slip in, as they do on the campground here, bringing in dope and doing things. And like, as I've said before, many of those that wander up and down the road are those out of double marriages and homes where they did not have anyone to care, and they were driven out of the house, and they had to wander up and down the roads. And then good children got mixed up in it because they wanted fellowship with somebody. And now even the good children that have good homes, they don't have enough understanding to know why it all happened. Like the different things that has happened in the past, and certain things having been born out of that, because of the interruption of society and many things that we could say about it. But anyway, this is the condition of the world. Worse. Men getting worse and worse. Evil men waxing worse and worse. Evil women waxing worse and worse. The beginning of sorrows, tribulation, death lurking in the shadows. Beasts, brute beasts waiting to devour. You know, and the thing is, what are you going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? Somebody says, well, I'm going to look after my own. Oh, there's no way, folks. There ain't no way for you to look after your own. No way at all. You will come to one place unless you got God. And that's the little shotgun on the wall, if you got one on the wall. And if you don't have one, you'll get you one. Jesus told him, said, if you ain't got a sword, you better get you one. That is, if you're not going to trust in God, you'd better do something. Because folks, it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's going to get worse. So see, you're going to have God. You're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to go one way or another, and it's at hand. It's not day after tomorrow. It's at hand. You're going to have to make a choice. You say, well, I don't feel that way about it. I tell you what, watch the next few days as things happen to you. Watch the things that happen, and watch when you try to hold your temper, and watch when you try to get yourself together. Watch as it gets harder and harder and harder. Watch the bitterness that tries to well up in your heart. Try to keep a tender, sweet, kind, loving spirit. And watch the bitterness. You know what's going to happen? You're going to fall. You're going to fall. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, not me. Yes, you're going to fall. There ain't going to be but one that'll survive. God said, I'll shake everything that can be shaken. Everything. And he said, whereas I shook the earth in the days of Moses, the shaking is so going to be so great, I'm going to shake the stars out of their socket. Everything that's in heaven, every angelic being, it can be shaken. I'm going to shake him until they fall from their lofty place. That's why your daughter's being shaken. That's why your son is being shaken. That's why your wife is being shaken. That's why you're being shaken. God is shaking everyone. And see, if the nature of Christ isn't there, it'll crumble. It'll fall. Money won't help. Riches won't help. Powers of security won't help. Understanding won't help. Education won't help. You're going to be shaken. You're going to be shaken. There's going to be something that'll come across your path that'll be shaken. I stopped a man the other night. I said, if you don't stop and listen to me, I said, you're going to commit murder. I've already seen it. Oh, I said, yes, you're going to commit murder. I said, listen to me and do what I tell you, because you're going to be a killer. You're going to commit murder, and you're going to the electric chair, you're going to prison or whatever's waiting for you. You're going to do it. I say, listen. Are you going to have heartaches in your home? Listen. Are you going to have sorrow? Listen. And you pray for people, and you help people, and you instruct people, and you go to the hospital, and you pick them up off of their deathbeds. And what do you get them for? To turn them loose to devils and let them go back to their filth. Let them go back to even a worse thing, that a worse thing may come upon them, that they may die a horrible, degraded death. You know, I'm especially speaking to the young people tonight. I've got a lot of them in here too. I think God had some of them to come tonight for this purpose. Young folks, you remember what I'm telling you. I've been down a long trail. I know where it leads to, and I know the slime pits along the way. Satan is killing the youth by the millions. I mean, he's literally killing them by the millions. And as I said a few nights ago, the death rate of the youth is greater than the death rate of the aged, according to the report that we've received. Satan is literally killing them by the millions. Youth don't have any sense, any reasoning. They won't listen to anybody, anything. Devils and demons are possessing them, and all they can think about is powder and paint and dope and frolicking passions. And you know, I'm not scolding you. I'm just trying to help you. You know where the problem is? I know where the problem is. I know what it would take to stop the problem. But you know what? Once it's wrong, they've gone too far down the trail to do it. They've done got too far down the trail to change it, to do it. Now you just think back a little bit. A few years ago, at night, children didn't roam the streets. A few years ago, daughters and sons wasn't bought automobiles at 16 years old and turned loose. A few years ago, businesses closed up at a decent hour of the night. They didn't ramble all night, roll on with a rock and roll all night. The places were closed down and the police walked the streets. And there was nothing for the children to be out there too. If they were out there, was nothing for them to find. There wasn't any places open. They couldn't eat and drink and frolic. They couldn't meet each other on the corner and spend the night. They didn't allow strong drink and whiskey just to be sold anywhere. Even the church would have an all-out war. I can remember when the churches of the community, they'd have an all-out war before you sold it in their area, whether it was to teenagers or whatever. A lot of men got whiskey, but a lot of times they had to get it through bootlegging. But you know what? The rotten society of today, if you'll pardon my expression, had to have their taxes. They saw the bootlegging and they were cut out of the money, and the devils and demons legalized it. And the church sat back instead of praying and fasting and seeking God. And instead of fighting it, they let it come in. And the juke joints began to ring out. And the striptease acts began to go on. And all night long it began to go on. And devils and demons began to get stronger. the knowledge of the Lord coming and nobody listening, paying no attention. The devil's getting stronger. And then the first news you know, daddy couldn't live with daughter. Mother couldn't live with son. The devils and demons had them so crazy and doped up and so overpowered by the wild youth that was already out there and the others. Hunter, you got to get me a car. You got to get me a car. Day and night, driving them crazy. You got to get me a car. And of course, finally, they got him a car. And then they turned him over to the wolves and to the devils. And the Bible said, and you sold your daughter for a glass of beer, your son for a glass of wine. And you fed at the table of devils, and you give your children, said you sacrificed your children to devils. You did it. And finally, the devil got stronger. The devil saw his chance from the old tree of knowledge. I'll make them get an education. Hitler's regime was never as bad as America. So they put them under the restraint. And they made them go and strip off and get their exercises. And they throw the daughters and the sons together. And they turned them into devils and demons of prostitutes and whoremongers. Dope addicts. Rock and rolls. And when daddy wanted to raise his voice, you shut up or I'll put you in jail. No, but I don't care what you don't want. We do what we want to. Devils and demons. So daddy, he backed down and mama backed down. And then somebody else said, well, what can we do? We just don't know what to do. You know what they did in the early age? They died for their children. They died for what was right. They went to the stakes. Some of them gave their lives. Somebody said, yeah, but if I die, I can't enjoy it. Then somebody else enjoys it. I'll tell you what. If God would give me grace to do it, I'd rather die that somebody else might have a decent life than to live and all of us have to live in the hog pens. That's the way I feel. It is the true fact that you can't do nothing as an individual as long as you're going to take some polished, educated professor or somebody that's got out of school or college. And because he thinks he knows, you listen to him and let him put you under his thumb. And you have to be a slave to tribute because he knows and you don't know. And therefore, because you're under him in that he knows and you don't know, then you are a slave. And he gets what you got and he rules you. And you can't do nothing at all about it. But I tell you what, when good old folks years ago with good common sense rose up against those that were slicked and polished and told them, said, you put your hand to the plow and you dig yourself a garden and you plant your own seed and you make your own living. Them was good old days. Folks got education with good sense back then. Doctors were fine doctors. They didn't go down to the local house. They didn't have a hospital. They didn't go down to the local house to make a prostitute out of your wife by exposing her to where she was from then on a whore. They didn't look upon the nudeness of that which was decent. It wasn't allowed. But midwives took care of those things. Doctors examined the child. And there were certain examinations that was made that was decent. But today, not anymore. Not anymore. You just act like that you don't want your wife or your daughter or your children to be exposed and want a little decency. And they say, you need to get a psychiatrist. They need to put this man in the insane asylum. He doesn't have good sense. Like a man told a doctor one time, said, I don't want my wife exposed. And I won't even tell you what he said back to him. It was so degraded and so low down that the doctor answered the person. The words they answered him with. I wouldn't even want to repeat it. So what is it, folks? But he said, well, we can't do nothing. I believe that we can. I believe that we should. And I believe that it's got to start somewhere. And that's why I preach like I do at Bethlehem. I preach decency. I preach that you ought to throw away the garbage and the mail that comes into your house that's filthy and dirty and low down. Whether it's on the cereal box so far as the nudeness and the pictures or in the mail. whether it's in the magazines or whatever. You need to burn it. You need to erase it. You need to throw it in the garbage. You need to tear it up. You need to refuse it. And as Moses was to be faithful in all of your house, you need to keep your mind clean, your eyes clean. Have purer eyes than to look upon the filth of the world. You need to do something about it. And like I say, I know where you come to. When we had the meeting in Indiana, I know some people come out there, they were ready to fight for their rights. I know when we had the meeting in Tennessee, and some of them rose up, some of the men said, "We'll get our guns, Brother Pike. You just say, get the guns, and we'll get the guns." Some of the people in Mississippi, I had to stop them. Said, "We'll settle the thing one way or another." See, so they're still courageous men. They're still men that'll fight. They're still men that'll do something. But see, that's not the right way. That's not what we've got to do. The Bible said the weapon of our warfare is not carnal. But the Bible does tell us that we have some mighty warfare. It's powerful to the casting down of strongholds. And it'll do something if we pray and seek God. But if we're half-hearted, lukewarm, Laodicean people, God can't move for us. We'd be better off dead. We'd be better off forget about religion. Forget about it. Get away from it. Because you're nothing but a helpless prey for the devils and demons. You're either going to have to take your guns, as I said at the beginning, or get you some kind of protection. As Jesus said, you're going to have to get a sword, or you're going to have to get right with God. You're going to have to get faith. Somebody says, "Well, I'm like Esther. You know, I'm with the celebrities." I know. I know. And I know why God's put you there. And like Mordecai told Esther, you're in for trouble, and one day they're going to take your head off too. They're going to get you because they know that you're relative to the things of God. They ain't going to put up with you. Right now, the only reason they're putting up with you is because you're a slave to tribute. You're making them money. You're taking care of their business. You're looking after their little part. And you're their slaves. I gave you a few dollars, but what's that? You're selling your soul like Esau. You're losing your birthright for it. So I believe that we ought to lock in on something. I believe that we ought to be strong in something. I believe we ought to have our mind strong and lock in on something and go the last mile of the way to stand for what's right. If it takes the blood out of our vein, pray that God will give us courage and strength. If you don't have the courage and strength, pray that God will give it to you. Stand together one with another. Don't be critical and devour one another and criticize and mock and say, "Aha, it happened to her, it happened to him. Aha, I knew it." Don't be a fool. It may happen to you day after tomorrow. The thing for you to do is say, "My God, the world's full of devils and demons. We need to get together. We need to correct daughter and son. We need to draw the leash. We need to do something. We need to have some rules and regulations on our grounds and in our homes and with our wife and with our children and in the church and in the program of God in some concern." So I said, "Well, they're out of my hair. You know, they're old enough anyway. They're going to do what they want to. I'm at rest." Tell you, you're not a daddy. You're not a mother. You don't even deserve children. You don't even deserve the title of a human being. God didn't make people like that. When people lose their love for their children, their concern for the virtues of their family, and when they lose their concern for morals and decency and provision for the home, they're nothing but devils and demons, that's all. So then, in saying these things, as it was this morning, I'm going to talk with you. I'm saying this tonight. Did you know that the Baptist Church, a few years ago, stood for 10 times what the Holiness Church stands for today? They were 10 times more in holiness and in godliness a few years ago than the Holiness Church is today. They had more morals, more decency, more convictions. Even Baptist preachers. Folks, it's all going down the drain. I saw a vision of it, and I saw it poured out into a zinc, and I saw it as it started down the drain. It's all been poured down the drain. You know why? Because there are so many people that's got their own ideas about it, their own thoughts about it. They'd rather have a little prestige. They'd rather have a little money. They'd rather be a slave to tribute than to have good common sense and to number themselves with Christ and with God's people. That's why Gideon over there, when God brought him down to the waters to prove him, God said, Gideon said, every one of them that gets down and laps like a dog said, I want him. Said, the rest of them is too starchy, send them back. He didn't use the word starchy, but that's what he was. Why did he do that? Because he wanted coronation. He knew that those that fell down that was thirsty, they had one thing on their mind, it was to get a drink of water the fastest way they could and get back to battle or to be under command. But he knew them that wouldn't fall down like that had that old human educational side of life with the reasoning in it that they had to figure it out this way or figure it out that way or the best way to get it or how to kneel down and whatever. God said, just get them on out of here. I want men that I can speak to one time, and like that, every one of them will coordinate and follow me. So he got rid of them. And all of them had just run up and fell down and begin to lap like a dog, that is, to get him a drink of water. God took those and coordinated them and put them around that great gulch over there. And just one word from Gideon, when he said, break that clay pitcher, he said, every man stand in his place. Do what I tell you. With one command, they broke the clay pitcher and they defeated the army. But if they'd have took those others that had so many divided minds, they would never have defeated the enemy. So the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. Today at Pentecost, they had one mind. You don't need men that's not going to coordinate with you. You don't need men like that. When Hitler went to get his men, he had men that would be one mind with him. If you're ever going to have a great move, whether it's in the spirit or whether it's in the natural, if you're ever going to have a great business, a great industry, whatever, you're going to have your staff or your followers or your army as one man. And the Bible spoke of the army of God back there and said when the trumpet sound said all of them were as one man. One man. And that's the way it's going to be with Christ as followers. The trumpet's going to sound, and every one of them's going to be as one man, even the man Christ Jesus, and with the mind of Christ. And they're going to win the war. So then, folks, sorrows are starting, trouble is starting, problems are starting, real problems. I feel sorry for you that's raising children. I really do. You know, they'll be all right up until they're about 12 years old, and after that, devils and demons will start entering into their minds. I feel sorry for you. You say, my precious child. Yeah, I know. I know, but they all turn out alike. All of them. Some through deceit, some one way, some another. Like some of them boasted to me, said, well, my children turned out real good. I never did have to bother them or whip them or whatever. I thought, yeah, you turned them loose to the devils and demons, and they watched what they wanted to on TV, and they went into their frolics, and they went to the beaches, and they done every dirty, low-down, filthy, anything that come to mind, they were free to do it to that extent. But later years, sorrows and heartaches started, and repercussions started, and the demons started showing up even later years after they left home. So the child is left to himself, whether a natural child or a spiritual child, the Bible said he'll bring shame. But if there's an effort made in a coordinated effort in trying to help and work, then things can work out to some benefit. All right. These are some good reminders. And some constructive things. I want you to think it over, folks. A few days and full of trouble. You've never had trouble at all like you're going to have. It's been a few days and full of trouble. But you've never had trouble like you're going to have. No need to look to your wife as that precious little thing that loves you. Forget about it. No need of her looking to you. Forget about it. It's not in the heart anymore, folks. You can't fool God. It's not in the heart anymore. I check you out when you come in here. It's not in the heart anymore. It's not there. It's neither with your wife, nor your children, nor your husband. It's not there. I marvel, because I got some here that thinks they're so smart, and they think they're so shrewd, and they think they've got it figured out. And I know for sure that their wife is in terrible condition in their hearts. Terrible condition. And in a little while, their homes is going to be split asunder. Some of them could care less, because the wife doesn't know what a horrible situation her husband is in his heart. She don't know what's going on. If she had any wisdom or understanding, she'd be altogether different too. But I'm telling you this, you better get God in your heart. If you don't have God in your heart, if you don't have God in your family, you better get God. You better get God, because no families are going to stay together. No children are going to stay at home. You'd better get God, and you'd better pray. And you better mean business. Better not be no hypocriting around, no hypocrisy. You better mean business. If you're going to trust God by faith, you better get down to business. Because if you're going to believe God for that child, you're going to have a real, genuine relationship with God. Something that's holy and godly and pure, and nothing in between. To where when you have to believe that you can really trust Him and believe with all of your heart that He's going to work it out. You're going to have to do it, folks. And if you ain't going to do that, you might as well eat, drink, and be merry. All of it's going down the drain anyway. Your family, you, and everything else. Your virtues, your morals, your decency. And then the number 666 will be sent down your way. So, in closing these few thoughts, think this over. If you don't have God in your heart, if you don't have God in your life, then you'd better get Him. You'd better get Him. You'd better get God in your life and God in your home. Because you're headed for a bad day, folks. I mean a bad, bad day, such as you've never dreamed of. But I'm just your pastor. I'm just a voice. I'm just one to tell you. And if it's true, it'll come to pass. If it doesn't come to pass, then you can say, well, that preacher, he don't know what he's talking about. He lied. He didn't know. Just give it enough time. I've said this so many, many times. Give it enough time, and if I'm a liar, then everybody will know that I'm a liar. But if I'm telling the truth, then you that fail to honor or do what I told you to do or what God instructed you to do, you'll have plenty of time to be sorry and recognize your mistake. And then you'll know whether Brother Pike told you the truth or not. There's a family sitting here tonight. I told the man, I said, if you don't straighten up your ways and stop your foolishness, your family's going to go to pieces. Your wife's going to be gone and the whole thing's going to be tore to pieces. No, I know what I'm doing. I'm a preacher. I can handle it. I said, okay, but I'm just telling you what I know is going to happen. Well, it wasn't long before he found out he couldn't handle it. And the wife left and the children went this way and everything went berserk. And he liked to went crazy. And he come and sat in my house and said, I'm about to go. He talked like he couldn't stand it. Said, I can't handle it. I can't do nothing with my family. I said, if you'll try to get straight with God, God will help you. And we prayed. And he made an effort and God put his family back together. Folks, you need God. You need God. Let's just stand together tonight. I tell you these things because I want to help you. I want to help you. I really want to help you. The end of the world is here. Things is happening. And they're going to continue to happen. But you know what I'm going to do? If the Lord will help me and it'll take Christ, I'm going to pray. I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to remind myself of the promises of God. I'm going to believe in Christ, that He gives me faith and strength and courage and perseverance to be able to stand, to be able to not to give in to the devils and the demons, to be able to go on with Christ and fight the good battle of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Horrible time, people being mutilated in the hospital, cut to bits by the intellectual devils and demons that think they know something, butchering them, slaughtering them all over the world, their entrails ripped out and bags hanging on the side,
when it's positively been proven that it wasn't necessary? Well, what's the difference? It wasn't their guts, as somebody said. It wasn't their entrails. It wasn't their members. It wasn't their loved ones. They was looking for a dollar anyway. It was a good operation. It's pitiful, folks. It's pitiful. Legalized prostitution, legalized whiskey, legalized gambling, legalized magazines and whatever in obscenity. You know, I've said this a number of times. When I was in Mississippi, I wrote the senator. I said, "Why do you let garbage like that come out?" He wrote back a nice letter and said, "Brother Pike," said, "I'm in agreement with you." He said, "We passed laws that said no, but said they put it there anyway." Said, "We don't want it there no more than you do." So see, folks, what has happened? What has happened? Somebody says, "The law did it." No, not the law. The devils and demons did it by taking control of the law, by taking control of the Constitution. And their devilish amendments came in and they took over and they made you slaves. All because we're more interested in eating and drinking and buying and selling and getting goods and passions and frolics, education and position more than lovers of God. We became lovers of pleasure, and death came. Well, it's reaping time, folks. The seed's been sown, now the harvest is coming up, and you look all around and see the briars. It's reaping time. You planted it, you got to reap it. So, yeah, that's the good folks going to have to reap it too. It is a true fact that the good folks have reaped a lot, the just suffering for the unjust, to show the sufferings of Christ. Well, let me tell you something. That ain't going to keep on. Like somebody told me over in the evening, I said something about the sufferings. He informed me right quick, said, "Yes, but those that are righteous are suffering too." I said, "Yeah, that's true." But let me inform you of something. I said, "It's fixing to stop. And God's fixing to draw a line. There's fixing to be a barrier put between the Egyptians and the Israelites in a little place called Goshen. Is going to become a place of safety." I said, "God's fixing to take his people out of here. And out through eternity, they'll never suffer again. They'll never have any pain again. They'll never have any misery again. They'll never have any problems again. They won't be mixed and mingled with the devils and demons upon which the punishment of God will come. Not again. It'll be over. It's a joke now, young lady, but it won't be a joke then." I had one to stand there not too long ago and make a joke out of it, but she liked to lost her life. These young girls up here, they think it's a joke. They're standing there laughing back of Stevie. But you'll find out, young lady, when the judgments of God comes, it ain't no joke. You'll learn how to behave yourself in the house of God. I had one to stand over and do that, and it wasn't long after that before she was begging. She was dying. Doctors couldn't help her. Had not been for the mercy of God, she'd have died. It's no joke. It's what's wrong now. You teenagers, you turned yourselves over to the devil. But you wait till he gets through with you. You'll look for a man of God, and you'll look for prayer, and you'll look for decency, and you'll know how to behave yourself in the house of God. God's not mocked. What you sow, and you're going to reap it. You teenagers, just like the young lady grinning right there, filled with the devil, just throwing her life to the wind and trying to defile every other young girl that she can find. Brother Pike told you that you start that foolishness here, I'll point a finger at you and I'll stop you. I'll rebuke you openly that others might see. It don't matter who you are to me. You might be polished. You might be a bad boy. You might be wealthy. You might be educated. That don't mean nothing to me. I'll point my finger at you in a minute. Just in a minute. If you don't believe it, you try it. Somebody says, "I know karate." That don't mean nothing to me. You and your black belt don't mean nothing to me. Your devilish ways need to be conquered. And God will conquer you. You might have to do it with a billy stick up against your head, but he'll conquer you. He may have to throw you in a dungeon. He may have to split your throat. But he's got devils and demons waiting to do it. Then you'll know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. That's why Jesus turned over the tables and popped the whip, that they might know how to conduct themselves in the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. One day the blood will run up to the horses' bridles. It might be your blood. The tribulation is close. I love you. I'm not trying to hurt you. But I want you to know, if you don't think that I'll speak out against your evil ways, you just come in here with your frolics. I hated to have to do it when somebody set up about where Sister Sue is there. One night they come in here with their frolics and I had to tell them to behave themselves. I've had to call some up here publicly before the sacred dais. Somebody says, well, I'll get you. Well, I know they got Stevens and they beat his head in, but that didn't stop it. When God's in your heart, that ain't going to stop it. Folks, we're out to stop the devils and the demons. And I know you devils and demons are out to stop us. But we're out to stop you too. And we're going to do it. By faith in God, we're going to do it. There's no F and N's about it. We're going to do it. We're going to win like the lawyer boasted when he stood up here in town. We'll go to court and we'll see who wins. I said, I've already won. You lost. You lost. I won. He lost before he ever got to the courtroom. God brought it to pass. I don't like to wrestle with devils and demons in the sense of judges and bankers and lawyers, sheriffs and policemen, whatever. But sometimes it's necessary. I want you to sing this little chorus with me. Weep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet, O sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild sea no more. And though the tempest did may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Jesus, sweet loving Jesus, kind loving Jesus. They got him upset. And he said some strong things. One day that God of judgment's going to be released from that sweet loving Jesus. That judgment's going to go forth to fury. It's going to burn with the fire of indignation. This youthful generation that's coming up now, it's so sad. They could be so great. They could be so wonderful. They could be so useful. But instead, they're going to have fire and brimstone rain down upon them. Hailstones cast out of heaven upon them. And the fury of God burning with the wrath of His indignation because they won't listen. They won't honor parents. They won't honor the preacher. They won't honor anybody. But you know what? The days of reaping, it's at hand. Young folks, your reaping's come. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, we've not had the chance. We need to live a while. No, God doesn't go by how long you live. He goes by how much you know. You know 10 times what the elders knew years ago. And your reaping has come. It's come. Somebody said, it's coming. No, no. It's already here. It's already here. Somebody said, that's your opinion. No, that's not my opinion. It's already here. And you know what? Folks, if you can get a hold of your children, if I can get a hold of my children, if we can get a hold of our loved ones, hold on to them. Watch your wife where she goes and what she does, if you care for her. And wife, watch your husband. And folks, watch your children. You don't know you're living with a prostitute, do you? You don't know, lady, that you're living with a whoremonger, do you? But you are. You don't know that. Oh, he's religious. Yeah, I know. I know. Oh, he's a good man. Yeah, I know. Good woman. Yeah, I know. It's like one in Olive Branch. I said, she's got a devil of lust. Though she was fasting, long fasting, sometime 12 and 15 days at a time. I said, that ain't got nothing to do with it. She's taken with a devil of lust. Today she's a prostitute, and one of the worst kind. And I said, the man's got a devil of lust to hold of him. And so it was. And another, and another, and another, and another, and another. And so it was. One man, I saw him take the church and turn it into a nightclub. Came to pass. He turned the church into a nightclub and began to serve beer, wine, and strong drink. But he was a preacher. But the devil had him. Folks, you got to be one of them elect. Make your calling sure. Make your election sure. Let's lift our hands up tonight. Brother Pike loves you. I'm not scolding you. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to be thorough. I just want you to know where I stand. See if those that come in and out the church and know what I stand for, and they know what you stand for, and they know that we will turn over the tables and pop the whip if it's necessary, they won't come out here with their frolics. But if they don't, they'll turn the house of God into lasciviousness and make it an open show. Stand up in your home. Don't be mean and don't be cruel. But stand up. Rule with a rod of iron when it comes to keeping evil out, keeping things right. Be tender, be kind, but be positive. If you've got understanding, that's great. If you've got education, with wisdom and with godliness, you're a great person. Use it for the glory of God. But even if you're ignorant and don't know nothing, get the wisdom of God and the sense of His Spirit. It'll make you of a good understanding. And He'll love you. If you've got position in life, and there is men in the world that's got position that God has given them, use it for the glory of God. Be clean and holy. Don't compromise. Daniel had a great position. He was a great leader. He was in the society of that day, one upon whom the king depended, but he didn't compromise. He didn't defile himself with the king's meat. He was straight. He was a great blessing of that day and helped to bring this great gospel, as it was with Paul, into the places of the celebrities. Be positive, be clean, be a person of understanding. While you've got your heads bowed and your hands lifted up, and while you're thinking upon this wonderful thing called Jesus, I want to say again, I love you. I appreciate you. I want to help you. I want to do whatever I can, and I will do it. But let's go along together, folks. I'm going to ask Joe McLean if he'll come down here and dismiss us tonight. While Joseph is coming, I want you to think. We're living in the day of the coat of many colors, when all nations is coming together as one in a confederation, whether for the good or the bad. We're living in the day when the great famine has set in, because we've had the day of plenty, and the day of plenty has passed over, and now the great famine is setting in. And we're living in the time when the house of Joseph will come into view and feed the hungry nations. People have felt this, and I'm going to say this in closing. People have felt this for a long time. Men like Brother Terrell has in the natural stored up. Others in the natural, Brother Ponder in the natural, has stored up. And many have stored up in the natural. not understanding spiritually, they felt this great thing, and through the natural side of life tried to provide. But that's not the way. That's good if you've got it stored up. Give it to somebody. Help somebody. But that's not the way, folks. Famine won't be for bread. But for the hearing of the word, there won't be nobody to listen. They all left Jesus, all but the 12. Hearing and yet having ears, they hear not. A hearing, a famine, for the true hearing of the word of God. As Joe comes to pray for you, while Joseph prays tonight, I want you to consider what I say. I want you to think it over. Brother Pike will help you, man or woman, boy or girl. I'll do for you. But don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't be foolish. If I scold you, it's not because I don't love you, but because I'm trying to help you. I appreciate the two people that I scolded. Both of them took a different outlook. And I'm glad, because both of them was pretty far down the trail and disaster was headed their way. Just remember one thing as I say this in closing, that you don't have to be old for disaster to come your way. You don't have to be old to get killed in a wreck. You don't have to be old for cancer or some bad disease to take your life. I know of some little girls, boys. I've known of those that's passed on with dreadful disease, and some right now that's dying, pleading for their life. They're little fellas. But the disease is terminal.